Welcome back to Tiradin Mechanach Yomi with the Oyuma Initiative. My name is Micha Horowitz. Today we'll continue our study of Sefer Shoftim. We're up to Perek Yudalel. Very interesting things going on with Shimshon, who was born to Manoach and his wife, if you remember, by the miraculous visit of the angel in last week's parasha. What am I saying? In yesterday's parak. Okay, let me give you the introduction to this parak from the Artscroll Nevi'im. Shimshon begins his defense of the Jewish people against the Pelishtim. The people were not worthy of the sort of salvation that had resulted from the efforts of the early judges. Consequently, had Shimshon organized the Jewish uprising, it would not have had God's help. The Pelishtim would have put it down with brutal attacks. Shimshon therefore did two things. One, he sought pretexts that would give him excuses to attack the Pelishtim who had wronged him. And second, and very important, he acted alone. Thus, they would consider his actions to be acts of personal vengeance. They might even blame their fellow Pelishtim who had provoked him. And the Jewish masses would not be held responsible for his actions. So it was very wise the way he approached the attacks against the Pelishtim. At the same time, however, the Pelishtim would be kept off balance and deterred from their more egregious persecution of the Jews. Perek Yudalet. Vayirid Shimshon Timnasa. Shimshon went down to Timna. Vayar Isha b'Timnasa. He saw a woman in Timna. Mibnos Pelishtim. A not Jewish, a Pelishti woman in Timna. Vayal vaged avivul ima vayomer isha reisi b'timnasa mibnos plishtim va'ata kechu osali leisha. He went up to his father and his mother and he said, I saw a woman in Timna from the daughters of the plishtim, and now take her to me for a wife. Vayomer la avivi ima ha'im b'vnos achecho v'chol ami isha ketach olich l'kachas isha m'plishtim ha'arelim. His parents say, what? You can't find a nice Jewish girl to marry? You have to take a plishti girl? And Shimshon is determined. He says, take that one from me. She is straight. She is right in my eyes. So I want to quote a couple of things. First of all, Artscroll Nevi'im again. Shimshon's strategy was based on marrying Plishtim woman, as the narrative will show. While on the surface, this would seem to be a deplorable case of forbidden intermarriage, the commentators agree his wife converted to Judaism. And I'm going to now quote from the Radak. Radak to Perek Yod Gimel, which was yesterday's Perek, Pasuk Dalel. Listen to the Radak. V'chein Amar HaKashiv Kime Hashem Hi. The Pasuk's about to tell us in Perek Yudal, Pasuk Dal, that this, Shimshon's marriage to this woman, came from Hashem, Kvomar, meaning to say, says the Radak, Lakachto isha mibnos plishtim me Hashem haisa, v'ratzon hakel yisbra chaya bazeh, meaning to say, when Shimshon took this woman from the daughters of the plishtim, it was the ratzon Hashem, the desire of God. Ki bo bivadai haya megayer osan umashichen aldas Yisrael. And the Radak says, certainly, Plishtim, though. Shimshon converted these Plishti women that he married, and he brought them into the Jewish religion. That is the Radak to Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Dalet. So yes, on the surface, it seems very, very strange that he would marry a Plishti woman, and his parents also do not understand that. But we see that the Radak and other commentators as well, including the Rabag and the Rambam, all hold that he converted these women and brought them back to Judaism. Interestingly, when I was learning through the Perek, right away the name Timna struck me, because we know Timnasa from Perek Lamed Chas of the Book of Bereishis, when Yehuda goes up to Timna to shear his sheep. Perek Lamed Chas in Bereishis is the parak of Yehuda and Tamar, and he goes up to Timnasa to shear his sheep. So here it says, Vayeirid Shimshon Timnasa. Shimshon went down to Timna. By Yehuda it says, and Yehuda went up to Timna. So I'm quoting the Radak again. This is the Radak to Perek Yudal and Pasuk Aleph. The Derech Drash, Yehuda shenis alabak siva be'aliyah, Shimshon shenis ganabak siva yerida. By Yehuda, he had an aliyah, ultimately from the marriage, the union, I should say, of Yehuda and Tamar. Melech HaMashiach is going to come. So for Yehuda, it was an aliyah. Therefore, it says Yehuda went up to Timna to shear his sheep. By Shimshon, who had a deplorable situation result from the woman that he married in Timna, it says Yerida. Shimshon went down, it's indicating that there will be a Yerida for Shimshon from this union with this woman. Okay, so his parents say he can't find a nice Jewish girl, and Shimshon says, no, I want her. Pasuk Dalet, and his mother and father did not know, ki mi Hashem hi. This is from Hashem. We already saw the Radak to yesterday's parak that says that Shimshon certainly converted these women, and it was Ratzon Hashem. And his parents didn't understand. But nevertheless, Shimshon insisted. And therefore, Pasuk Hey, Shimshon and his father and his mother went down to Timnah, and they come to the vineyards of Timnah. Now remember, what did the angel tell Manoach and his wife? She is to be very careful not to become associated with wine, not to ingest wine, because the child is going to be a Nazir. So when they come up to the vineyards, they have to split ways. The parents are able to take the quicker path through the vineyard, but Shimshon cannot go through the vineyard. Who does he encounter? Vehine kfir arayos shoeg lekraso. Behold, a young lion was roaring towards him. Vatitzach alav ruach Hashem. He finds this divine spirit within him. Vayishasehu kishasa hagidi. And we see that verb in Parashas Vayikra and Sefer Vayikra, when it talks about tearing apart the bird. When a poor person brings a bird, the bird is torn apart with its feathers to make it look bigger on the Mizbeach. And Shimshon has this great strength, the strength of God, the Spirit of God rests upon him. And what does he do? He tears apart the lion, just like one would tear apart a little lamb. Uma aim biado. He doesn't have any weapons. He doesn't have a knife. He doesn't have a sword. He doesn't have a spear. He doesn't have a bow and an arrow. Velo higi da aviv uli imo eis asher asa. And interestingly, he does not tell his father and his mother what he's going to do. And this is going to have an effect later in the parak. I just want to quote Art Scroll Nevi'im. By sending a lion towards him, God was hinting that Shimshon's intended marriage would be an unpleasant encounter. But, says the Al-Sheikh, by enabling him to kill the lion easily, God showed he would not abandon Shimshon. According to the Malbim, it was a sign that he would prevail over the enemies of God. Just like he tore apart the lion, he would be able to tear apart the enemies of God. Okay, so he goes down and he speaks to this woman, and she is right in his eyes. So he decides he wants to marry her, and after a year or so, he returns to take her as a wife, lekachta, and on the path, he turns to see what happened to that lion that I tore apart with my own hands a year ago. Would you believe that the bees have made a home? They made a hive, a swarm of bees. Where are they? In the carcass, in the body of the lion. There is also honey. Vayiridehu al kapav, and he goes down, in other words, with his hands, he goes into the carcass of the lion. Vayelech halach v'achal vayelech al aviv v'almo. He's eating honey. He goes to his parents and he gives them some of the honey. He doesn't tell them that this came from the inside of the lion and the beehive inside the lion. But dead lion, of course, the carcass of the lion. Okay. So what happens next? The marriage. His father goes down to the woman and they make a big mishta, because that is the way of Bachurim. Ki kein yasu Bachurim. They make a big feast. And it was Kirosam Osa Vayichu Shloshim Mirim Vayu Ito. When the Plishtim Machatunim saw Shimshon, they take 30 young companions and they are the groomsmen to participate in this wedding. And Shimshon says, should I tell you a riddle? Achuda na lachem chida. Would you like to hear a riddle? Im hageit hagidu osali shiva simei mishta umetzasim v'nesati lichem shloshim sidinim u'shloshim chalifos begadim. He says, I'm going to tell you a riddle. If by the end of Shavu Brachos, by the way, don't be surprised, in Perech of Tessa Bereishis, we also see that after the shiva simei hamishta that Laban makes for Leah, Yaakov marries Rachel. So this is obviously a very ancient institution to have shiva simei hamishta following a wedding. So Shimshon says, you know, if after the Shivasiya Mea Mishta, if you could tell me the riddle, I will reward you. I will give you 30 sheets and 30 suits of clothing. Now, that is something very, very precious. 30 sheets and 30 changes of clothing. That's an amazing thing, 30 suits of clothing. In other words, each of these groomsmen will be rewarded with a sheet and a change of clothing. But if you can't Yishav the riddle, you'll give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of clothing. Vayamulo, they say, Chuda chidascha v'nishma anai. So go ahead, tell your riddle, we will hear it. They figure, we're 30, you're one, of course we're going to be able to get it. Vayomer lahem, and here's the riddle, Pasuk Gedalet, Mei ha'ochal yatsa ma'achal, umei az yatsa ma'sok. Listen, mei ha'ochal yatsa ma'achal. And by the way, in Perek Gedalet, Pasuk Gedalet, from the eater, meaning who's the eater? The top predator, the king of the jungle, the lion. Mei ha'ochal, from the one that eats, yatsa ma'achal, came out food, meaning honey. Umei az, and from great strength, meaning the lion, yatsa ma'sok, sweetness came out. Mei ha'ochal, from the one that is a predator, from the one that consumes others, yatsa ma'achal, came food, honey. Umei az, and from strong, i.e. from the lion, yatsa ma'sok, sweet came out, meaning honey. Now, he does not tell them the interpretation. He just says, mei ha'ochal, yatsa ma'achal, umei az, yatsa ma'sok. Now, so now, how are they supposed to get this? They can't. None of the groomsmen can solve the puzzle. They don't know what's going on. It was on the seventh day. Pati sheikh. Penisrof osach the ace base avich ba'esh. They come to the wife of Shimshon and they say, listen, you better entice your husband. He better tell us this riddle. If not, we will burn you and your father's household in fire. They threaten. Did you invite us here to your wedding canopy to impoverish us? Haliyar Shani, to make us poor? And she starts crying. She starts crying to Shimshon. She doesn't tell him why, but she's weeping and she's weeping. And she says, Rak sanesani, say sanes. Rak se ne sani, do you hate me? Velo ahavtani, do you not love me? Achida chadta levnei ami, veli lo higata. What? You told the people of my nation your riddle? You didn't tell me your riddle? Vayomer lo, and he says to her, lo avi ulimi lo higadati velo achagid. He says, I didn't even tell my mother and my father the riddle. You think I should tell you the riddle? So he's saying, of course I'm not going to tell you the riddle. I just want to tell you something on Pasuk Tesvav, which I just read. It was on the seventh day. I'm sorry, I didn't say it before clearly. But on the seventh day, the groomsmen say to the wife of Shimshon, you better entice your husband and find out the riddle. I just want to tell you what Rashi says. It was on Shabbos that they came to the wife and they said, start working on your husband. As she specifically says, this wasn't the seventh day of feasting. Remember, they only had 7 days to explain the riddle. It was actually the fourth day of feasting, but it was on Shabbos. And she's crying and crying. And he says, I didn't even tell my parents. You think I'm going to tell you? And she cries for 7 days. Asher haya lahem amishta. She can't stop. She's afraid that her and her father's household is going to be burned down. She's crying continuously for this whole Shavu Brechas. What kind of Shavu Brechas was this? Could you imagine having shalom bayis issues from the minute they got married? And it was on the seventh day, Vayeged, that he finally tells her. He discloses the secret. Ki hetzi kasu. Because she was like a thorn in his side. She kept pestering him. He couldn't take it anymore. What does she immediately do? So he finally tells her, and what does she do? She immediately goes and she discloses the riddle to the people of her nation. And the people of the city come to Shimshon on the seventh day of the Mishnah. Before they come to him, and they say to him, sorry, I just want to make sure I translate that for you correctly. They come to him on the seventh day of the Mishnah, and now, of course, they have the answer. Before the sun set. Mama tok midvash, ume az me ari. Ha! What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? He knows exactly what happens. And he says, lule charashtem be'eglasi. He answers with a metaphor. Had you not plowed, hecharashtem. Had you not plowed with my calf? Lo metzasem chidasi. Had you not taken advantage of my wife, you would not have answered to my riddle. Two more psukim. The Spirit of God rested upon him. And what does he do to take vengeance against the Plishtim? Vayered Ashkelon. He goes down to Ashkelon. Vayachmehem Shloshim Ish. He goes down to Ashkelon and he slaughters, he kills 30 men. Vayikach es chalitzosam. Vayitin echalifos l'magid yachidat. He kills 30 Plishtim in Ashkelon. He takes their garments and he gives a change of clothing to his groomsmen who solved the riddle. Vayichar apo vayal beis aviyu. And his wrath is inflamed and he goes back to his father's house. He's very upset. Now, I just want to quote the article in the Nevi'im actually for you. Since the Plishti nation was in a state of war with the Jews, Shimshon was permitted to attack them wherever they were, even though the victims in Ashkelon had not personally wronged him. He avenged the treachery of his wife and friends by killing 30 Plishtim in far off Ashkelon and taking their clothing to pay the wager. Now, maybe you're thinking this, so this is interesting. I just want to point it out. The Radak explains that Shimshon, even though he was a Nazir, was allowed to contaminate himself to dead bodies. Why? Shimshon had a unique Nazirite status called Nazir Shimshon, which permitted him to touch dead bodies, unlike an ordinary Nazir. Because if you remember in yesterday's parak, the angel who imposed the status on him omitted mention of contamination to the dead. Radak likens this to the commandment that a Kohen or Nazir is required to bury a Jew as no one to tend him, a meis mitzvah. The commandment to bury the forlorn corpse overrides the prohibition not to contaminate himself. So too, Shimshon was performing a mitzvah by attacking the Plishtim, and therefore it was permitted. Final pasuk. Vatihi Esha Shimshon Limurei Ehu Asher Re'alohu. What does Shimshon's wife do? She betrays him and she goes with the friends to whom she told the riddle. Right after the marriage, he goes back to his father's house. She goes to hang out with those friends. Finally, the Malbim, seeing that Shimshon had abandoned her in anger, she went to live with one of the friends who had swindled him. Since Shimshon had not divorced her, this was blatant adultery. It added insult to the injury and it sets the stage for the next chapter. Thank you for studying together. Yilui Nishamot Imoteno Yikarot, Esther Oppenheimer, Allah Hashem, and Sarah Shankar, Allah Hashem, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generation. Kol Tov, thank you to all. Bezrat Hashem, we will continue tomorrow.